So how do you stop feeling like shite and get your health back on track? Hi, and welcome to episode 122 of the Midlife Reshape podcast. Now this week I want to get deep into the shite. And firstly, apologies for the language. I'm going to be using that word quite a lot. So if it really does offend you, it's probably worth turning off now. And apologies again for that. I am using the word in a tongue-in-cheek, hopefully mischievous but fun way, and the idea of it really is, on a serious note, is to help you start to diagnose where the real challenges and obstacles to you and getting your health where you want it to be, to managing and losing that weight. I want to really get down to where is it that's really the sticking points for you. Because I often use that phrase, it's not about the diet. And whilst I totally accept it is at the essence, at the state of losing weight, we need to create that energy in out imbalance. You know, in terms of health, it does matter what you eat, but that's not where I find the challenges really are for most of us. For me, for my clients, for many people I talk to, we know what to do. It's the doing, it's a challenge, and it's the shite that gets in the way. It's the stuff of life, the things that undermine, that obstruct us, that distract you or engage you in stressful alternatives so that you don't have the energy or motivation to really focus on you. So the shite guide to overcoming your overthinking, overeating and overworking is here to help you pinpoint where you need to focus your attention and your efforts in order to make the changes so that you can get on with transforming your health, reintroducing the healthier habits, losing that weight, or at least managing your weight more positively. So that's what I'm going to be exploring in this episode. I'm going to give you an overview of the Shite Guide, Shite being the mnemonic S-H-I-T-E, and I'm also going to give you a link to an infographic if you would like it as a reminder to help you pinpoint the causes for you, and also then a few tips on each of the areas as to what you can do to kickstart your journey in that. And over coming episodes, I'm going to explore, dive a little bit deeper into the shite and take S-H-I-T-E week by week and just explore them in a little bit more detail so that you've got more tips, tools and resources to help you navigate and wade through the shite so that you start looking after yourself and your health in a better, more positive, sustainable way for midlife and beyond. But before I do, before I get into that, can I ask you, if you aren't already subscribed to the podcast, whether you're watching it on YouTube or you're listening to it in your favorite pod feed of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify or whatever, could you please hit that subscribe button? Subscribe to the podcast for a number of reasons. One is it helps really get the podcast out there to more people, which is really, really, for me, part of the mission for me is to reach more midlifers and help them transform their life for midlife and beyond. But also it means that you won't miss an episode and you can also find previous episodes a lot easier. I do call back to other episodes from time to time when I'm talking about particular topics, whether it's sweating sprouts or chunking the cabbage down. I call back to particular episodes or guests in the past and it makes it a lot easier for you to find that. So if you could subscribe, it would be brilliant. And if you're already subscribed and you are enjoying the content, it would mean so much if you could give me a rating. 5-star rating, preferably. A rating and a review would be brilliant. And if you're on YouTube, a like button and a comment would be brilliant. That would be smashing because, again, it just helps reach more people by upping me and the ratings for other podcasts. There's a lot of them out there, but I'd like to think that mine is particularly focused for midlifers in a slightly different way. And one other thing, just one small ask, if you know one other person who you feel is in that midlife slump, that midlife, they're wading through the midlife shite. Let's go with the shite metaphor. They're wading through midlife shite and struggling to stay on top of things, to feel motivated, to find the juice and the adventure in life, perhaps to manage their weight or their health. Then why not share the podcast with them and help them discover some tips, tactics, inspiration, food for thought to help them get back on track too. It would really mean a lot to them, hopefully, and to me. So that would be great. But anyway, now on with the show and let's explore the Shite Guide to overcoming, overeating, overthinking and overworking. Okay, so the Shite Guide. Now this firstly, I just need to give a bit of credit to where this idea came from. I remember I was thinking, I think I was ironing at the time, and I was just listening to a podcast, and again, I can't remember the podcast, and they didn't actually mention it, but it was generally talking about stress. And I remembered something somebody said about a former president, again, I can't remember which president it is, who once said, you know, when I'm dealing with somebody and I'm finding it difficult, they are not being particularly nice to me, or we're not getting on, I ask myself a question. Are they halt? Are they hungry, angry, late, or tired? And for them, they found that a useful way just to sort of see, is there something else in this conversation that's getting in the way? If they're hungry, then perhaps their head's not where they want to be. Are they angry? Perhaps we need to deal with that. Are they late? Perhaps we need to just reassure them and settle them down. Are they tired? Perhaps we need a break and just a recharge of the batteries. And I thought that's a really useful way of capturing the essence of some of the underlying challenges to being stressed. Because when you're stressed, it's often not about necessarily the thing right in front of you. And then it just, as I do, my head just started to spin into, well, does that apply to, you know, our health and our attention and motivation levels? And the answer is yes. And then I got into, what about feeling like shit? And then shit turned to shite. And shite became the mnemonic that I'm going to share with you now. And again, apologies for using the word a lot. I'm kind of having fun, as you can tell. But it goes back to this idea of it's not about the diet. I firmly believe that we do know what we need to do, most of us, for our health. Yes, there's a lot of confusion out there, but it's the shite that gets in the way. And I'm going to give you an overview of the mnemonic and then a brief sort of headline for each of the S-H-I-T-E. And in coming weeks, as I say, I'm going to explore the shite in more detail and take one letter at a time and explore that and share some tips. So what is the shite guide to overeating, overcoming overeating, overthinking, overworking? Well, the shite guide stands for S-H-I-T-E, S, stressed, and asking yourself, am I stressed? The H is, am I hungry? And there's some nuance to that because, you know, there's a difference between genuine hunger and perhaps bored hunger, etc. I'll come on to that. I, am I feeling isolated? Have I been overlooked, dismissed? Am I feeling lonely? Am I feeling that things I'm not getting on well with the key people in my life or my work? Isolation is a key one. Tired. Am I tired? Am I exhausted? Am I worn out? Am I not sleeping well? And the E is, am I emotional? And I'll come on to emotions, but it isn't just, am I tearful? It is, am I angry? Am I resentful? Am I bitter? Those kinds of emotions as well. And am I feeling them either very acutely in the moment or emotional for extended periods of time? Because that has an impact. So these, for me, are some of the key causes, by no means exhaustive, but I think these are really key areas and aspects that can really get in the way and undermine our efforts, our energy levels, our sense of focus and attention, and our motivation. You know, when you're just not feeling it, when you just don't feel like you've got it in the tank to do what you need to do, and you do the opposite, you binge eat, you ring for the pizza, you do whatever, instead of staying roughly to plan. And these are the culprits. So let's get into it then. I've given you the overview, and as I said, I'm going to break these down in the weeks to come. But the S, stressed. Am I stressed? Now, as we go through this, you'll see there's an overlap between a lot of these. But stressed is that feeling of, it could be that feeling of overwhelm in the moment. My head's battered. I'm about to lose it. Somebody said something that just sent my emotional temperature up high. About to press send on an email I should never press send on. That kind of feeling. Panic, fear, frustration in the moment that immobilizes you. Or is it the general grind of carrying the demands and weights of life around, the stresses, all the things you have to do, or a bit of both? Because that stress is, as amongst other things, amongst it being exhausting and tiring and sending you into emotions, perhaps leading you into binge eating or other things, and perhaps helping you to sort of, or causing you to isolate from others, it is a distraction. When you are stressed, your rational, clear thinking, problem solving, present, patient head, mind is not in the game to a greater or lesser extent. And when it's not in the game, we can expect great performance. We can expect rational decisions from ourselves, but we ain't going to get them. We're going to get less of ourselves, if not the worst of ourselves from that. So the S is about recognizing, am I stressed? Now, this as an approach, I'll dig into it in a particular episode, is about, am I stressed in the moment or am I just generally stressed over time? And if so, we need to focus on that. And perhaps there may be some quick wins in health, exercise, etc. But perhaps the real win is to get to grips with what's causing us stress. Because if you think about yourself, at the best of times, when you're feeling like you're on top of the world, you're on top of things, stress levels are low. You need a little bit of challenge, a little bit of stress and pressure, but you are coping, you're managing, you're fine. If you think about the difference between the you then and the you when you're under stress, you already know the difference. You already know why you're not able to focus, why you're not motivated, why you're not sticking to the best of intentions that you set yourself, and you are sliding into the biscuit tin and burying yourself in it. Whatever. You already know why. And yet we'll beat ourselves up for it. We'll still expect so much from ourselves. And it's unrealistic. So the S is about stress. It's really important to get on top of the stress. And as I said, I'll explore that in more detail in coming episodes. And I have done in previous episodes as well. So that's always, it's always worth looking at previous episodes. But I'll call back to some of those when I do that episode. That stress, if we can start to put it in its place, get more control over it and over ourselves in a compassionate way, we are in a better place to think clearly, to plan realistically in what you would aim to achieve in your health and your weight loss, and then to stick to it. More often than not. Not perfectly, but a little bit better than perhaps you do when you're stressed. So that's the S. Are you stressed? The H. Am I hungry? Now, this is an interesting one because I get here, what I'm talking about here is the genuine hunger when you need a meal. When you want, you're ready for a meal, whether it's breakfast, dinner, tea, whatever it is, you're ready for it, you want your food. There's genuine hunger, isn't there? Then there's the not so genuine hunger, which can be hunger born out of being emotional, tired, stressed, bored even. You know, mouth boredom, one of my clients talks about, the feeling of just mouth boredom. I just want something to chew on that's not healthy. You know, that kind of feeling. And it's useful to really distinguish between the two, but then to also understand what is leading us perhaps to binge eat, to fall into patterns of grabbing the packet of crisps, the three packets of crisps, then the packet of biscuits, and more. Perhaps crack open the wine, etc. Because that hunger is more of a, it's not necessarily a purely physical hunger, as in my stomach's growling, I'm ready for my meal. It's an emotional, visceral kind of psychological hunger, isn't it? That drives us to feed and fill something that we'll never feed or fill. And will only lead to a lot of recrimination and self-loathing as a result. So it's really important to recognize that perhaps our behaviors around eating is more than just genuine hunger or genuine ritual and routine. There may be a lot of habit in there, but it's also about what's driving behind it. And perhaps we need to focus and drill in onto understanding that and then developing some tactics and approaches bit by bit to start to, in a self-compassionate way, shape and shift how we deal with that kind of hunger. So again, I'm going to explore that more in a future episode, and I've talked about that a lot. You might want to check out my series on our relationship with food from the physical, the emotional, and psychological. That was about 6-7 episodes ago, if I remember off the top of my head. But you might want to check those out as well if you want to sort of dive in now. So again, there's an area we could focus on if you think, yeah, binge eating is particularly the issue. You might find actually the reason I binge eat is stress. So let's look at stress and let's break this down. The third one, isolated, lonely, dismissed, feeling overlooked, or feeling like, you know, you're not valued or getting on with your mates, your teammates, your family members, or the relationship issues. Why is this in this mix of causes or obstacles that get in the way? Well, I think firstly, if you've ever been in that position, you probably don't need that question answering. You already know. But I think the bottom line is human beings, whether we're introvert or extrovert, we've evolved to be social animals. And by social, I don't necessarily mean party animals or in the thick of the crowd. I just mean to be connected with and to other human beings. And for some reason, well, for good reason, evolutionary, we've evolved this need to feel part of something. And that when we're separated or isolated, our stress levels and our anxiety levels and our feelings of sadness and all of those negative emotions that we typically associate with negativeness start to raise for a very good reason, because it's signaling you're not in a safe place. You think about it, if I'm part of a tribe or a group and I'm together, we can all share the burden of surveillance for threat. You know, back in, you know, the cave dwelling days, we can share that surveillance, looking for threat. We can collectively act together to protect ourselves. But if I'm separate from a group, then I have to be hyper-vigilant, because I have to effectively have eyes in the back of my head, because I have to look all around, because it's all on me to protect me. And that's where the stress levels rise physically, but also we can feel like anxiousness and what have you as a result. And for whatever reason, that's been really, really important as part of our survival, as a groups. Groups and community is really important for us as human beings. And that's traveled through time to now, and was probably never more recently illustrated by the lockdown period for many of us during COVID, where perhaps we felt that isolation more acutely because we weren't able to go into work. Even if you didn't like work and didn't like the people at work, they reminded you you were human. They gave you some structure and some core, some community there. Because community doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be everybody getting on and, you know, it's sunshine and happy smiley faces. It's human interaction. The good, the not so good, the messy, but it's human interaction and connection. And I think what we need to recognize is that when we feel that sense of isolation, and it could be because you've moved somewhere new, could it be because of something like the lockdown period? It could be because things just aren't going well, or you're being excluded, bullied, or you've had a falling out. That sense of separation can lead to us feeling greater stress and anxiety, feeling sad, despondent, and emotional. And because of that, can perhaps tip us into the less healthy taking self-care and eating habits, lack of activity, those kinds of things. So it's a really powerful driver for many of us. And perhaps we don't know or appreciate it until it's not there, till that community is not there, till something goes wrong. But I'm sure some of you out there will have experienced this sense of isolation, whether for a short period or a long period. You know how painful that is. And yet, I bet you beat the hell out of yourself if you reach for the ice cream or the crisps or the drink as a result. And actually, we beat ourselves up for something. And again, I'm not sort of giving a green light or licensing the behavior. What I am trying to do is highlight the reasons why that behavior becomes more, we become more prone to it. We become more likely to do it if it's something that gives us that emotional comfort, or it numbs that pain, or makes us feel connected. Because at the end of the day, we can feel connected to food, because food is a big part of our lives, and drink can help numb and block out time, can't it? So isolation is a really important aspect. And if that's part of it, we need to deal with that as best we can in a realistic context. Because if we're stuck in the middle of lockdown, there's maybe only some things we can do. So we have to make the best of it. Hopefully, you know, touch wood, we won't be in that position again. But equivalents or different situations can lead to those feelings. So the T, tiredness, exhaustion, not sleeping well, probably speaks for itself, to be fair. And it may be because we're stressed out. It may be because we're going through some relationship breakdown, etc., etc. But it may be that that is so prevalent at the moment that it has having that snowball effect. I'm not sleeping well. So when I'm getting up in the morning and then through my day, I'm just not getting it together. I'm not getting out for some fresh air and some walking. I'm not eating the right things. I'm getting home and I'm drinking a few beers or glasses of wine, and then I'm not sleeping again, and it becomes a snowball. And that in itself can be an opportunity, I guess, because yes, it's a problem, not sleeping well, obviously not having the time to recharge the batteries so we have the coping reserves for emotional, physical and psychological challenge. Yes, but there's an opportunity here. And from my experience of working with clients, it's often here that we start. Not always, there are other areas, but often dealing with tiredness is often a cracking place to start. Dealing with their sleep habits, sleep hygiene, sleep architecture, time to relax, relearning how to relax can be really powerful opportunities, spaces where we can start to go, if we can just feel a little bit less tired, if I can just sleep a little bit better, then I'm going to cope a little bit more, have a little bit more in my attention and awareness reserves to make a little bit better decisions in relation to food, activity, relationships, communication, whatever. If we can just start to swing that balance back a little bit, God, things can transform so massively and amazingly. The snowball can start to run the other way. It can be a positive snowball of positive effects. And I've seen that happen umpteen times and pretty dramatically. Because again, and I see this time and again with clients, is we all know what to do. We just need that one thing, that bit of a leverage point that gives us that sense of control back, that just makes us feel like I've got this and I'm feeling a bit better about myself. Have a little bit more energy in the tank. And boy, can we just really be off and running to the races. It's amazing. So T is a really important area. And many times for me when I'm working with people, it's the first area that I'll just check in on. The E, again, the emotional extremes that we can experience. And again, I want to just highlight, this isn't about being tearful or sad, because we often think about those as the emotions. They are, you know, being tearful because you're emotional, sad, etc., frustrated. They are genuine emotions. But so, and it's just something I've found over the years with stress in particular, is anger, resentment, impatience. Sometimes we don't connect the dots between that and stress. Sometimes we don't connect the dots between anger and irritability and emotions. And actually, what we need to do is recognize that they're all emotions. And how can we perhaps manage ourselves more emotionally, our emotions more positively? Because this is where the Shy Guide is useful, in the sense that, yes, I'm feeling angry and bitter and resentful. It might be because of stress. So we might have to go back and revisit stress. It might be because I'm just knackered, I'm tired. But there may also be other things. So this is where the diagnostic can be back and forth until we get to the real root of it. But the emotional bit is about looking for what is it really? Is it, there's a particular thing, perhaps there's a, I don't know about you, but sometimes you carry around a comment made by somebody that perhaps they're a so-called friend or colleague, but they say something and it really gets to you and you carry it around like a vat of acid in your stomach for weeks and months and it just corrodes away. Is it something like that? Is it an unconfronted challenge or relationship issue? Is it something that you're ignoring, like a mounting debt issue that you're really worried or anxious about? And that could lead into stress, but it can lead into things like fear and anger and bitterness as well. There's lots of things there. So is it something like that we need to just start to uncover and be aware of? Is it, on the other side of it, it could be and or with this, how we manage and deal with our emotions? And typically the two go hand in hand, because I think we've been missold, really, PPI, I guess, missold PPI on what our emotions are for. Emotions are, they're an unnecessary thing. They're a bit of an impediment. They are weak if you show emotions. And we kind of need to crush down our emotions, deny our emotions, crush them down, put them away and shut them off and get on with life. And actually, that can be both counterproductive and long-term really damaging to our health and mental health in particular, because our emotions are more than just a feeling. They're signal, they're data, they're telling us something. They're telling us something quite loud, with a loud halo over them, depending on the intensity of the emotion. They're signaling something. So what is it signaling? And how we approach our emotions is a key part to it. So the E is about, how do we get into managing our emotions in a more positive way? So that's the overall guide. I've gone through it probably at breakneck speed, so there may be a lot of questions. But what I'm going to suggest you do is, if you are interested, subscribe and listen out for the future episodes. But get yourself a copy of my initial infographic. I haven't properly branded this up. This is a new kind of idea that I'm putting out there. But if you head over to midlifereshape.com/shite, you will find the opportunity to sign up to receive a PDF infographic of this, of the Shite mnemonic. Just as a bit of a tongue-in-cheek reminder, but also as a way for you to go, well, where? Ask yourself a series of questions. Where is it that I'm really struggling? Where are the blocks? And then what can I do to start to really tune in on doing the work? And if you find the infographics worthwhile and useful, then tap back into the midlifereshape.com membership, because the membership and the community there is all about getting our health and our weight and our life back on your terms, believing you can, achieving it in a sustainable way, and dealing with these things, dealing with the stress, dealing with the hunger, particularly that emotional kind of psychological binge eating and hunger related stuff, dealing with isolation and loneliness and distance in relationships if we can, tiredness and exhaustion, and managing our emotions more positively. So if you want to get a hold of the Shite Guide infographic, then head over to midlifereshape.com/shite. If you want to check out the membership, then midlifereshape.com is there for you. If you check that out, drop me a line at dave@restlessmidlifer.com. It'd be great to hear your thoughts on the Shite Guide and any questions, because I am going to be developing future episodes over the coming weeks. So it'll be interesting to get your take on what are particular questions around each of those areas: stress, hunger, isolation, tiredness, and emotions. So that's it for this week. I hope that's useful. I hope that's been a little bit of fun and you're not too offended by the use of the word shite, because I've used it quite a lot and I'm probably deliberately overusing it. But let me know your thoughts and I will catch you in the next episode. Take care for now. Thanks for listening. You can check out the show notes and other episodes at midlifereshape.com/podcast. And it'd be great if you could subscribe, share, rate, review, and all of that. That would be magic. And if you are a midlifer and you're finding that your health has taken a backseat and you really want to get life back on your terms, put stress in its place and start to lose that weight and lose it sustainably long term for midlife and beyond, pop over to midlifereshape.com to find out about the community membership, and I'd love to see you there. Any feedback or questions or ideas for future show topics or guests, then drop me a line at dave@restlessmidlifer.com. And just one more shout out to Logan Nicholson of musicformakers.com for the awesome music for the podcast. That's it for now. Take care, keep sweating the right sprouts, and look after yourself.